This is John Maddox, and if you're following the news, as most of us are, you know that there is a crisis right now in the world, really in more than one spot, but the one that we're going to focus in on today is the situation in the Holy Land. And we're, of course, talking about the conflict between the people of Israel and the people of Palestine, the Palestinian people. And the attacks that are happening both ways, rockets going both ways, people on the ground in Gaza, and lives being lost, even as we speak, on both sides. And we have talked before on Ancient Faith Radio with Maria Curry. Maria is a resident of Taiba, which is near Jerusalem, and she is an Orthodox Christian. She has written books for children. And she has commented in various locations about life in the Holy Land. Her husband was at one time the mayor of Taiba, and they are members of an Orthodox church right there in the village of Taiba. And I'm talking with her today in her village. It's actually the time I'm talking to her, about 1:30 in the morning. So, Maria, first of all, thank you for being up so late or so early to talk with us today.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate to share what's happening on the ground with people that are interested to see from my eyes maybe what I can share with you.
Well, you're there, we're here, and all we know is what we see on the news, and we all know that everything you see on the news is not always accurate. I'm sure there is an attempt at fairness and accuracy, and we certainly don't want to malign anybody's motives, nor do we want this to be a political conversation. What we intend to do in this conversation is find out from someone who is there and has eyes to see and ears to hear what she is observing as a Christian, an Orthodox Christian, in the Holy Land. And Maria, I should add that you are not personally, ethnically, from the Palestinian people. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'm actually a Greek. I was born in Greece, raised in the United States. I am married to a Palestinian Orthodox Christian, and I have actually been living here since 1995. But I've adopted Palestine, I guess.
Sure, sure. And Maria, the parish that you go to in Taiba is a Greek parish?
Everyone here in the Holy Land, no matter what their ethnicity is under the Greek Orthodox Patriarchate. So technically, our church is St. George Greek Orthodox Church in Taiba, but all of the local residents that pray in the church are of Palestinian ethnicity.
All right. And give us just a quick geographical and historical lesson on Palestine. Some people say, well, there really isn't a nation of Palestine. But what is it then?
Well, Palestine has been here, especially since I have seen my father-in-law's birth certificate under the British mandate when he was born. His birth certificate says his name, Canaan David Khoury, and of course it says the state of Palestine. But Palestine has never had freedom and has always been under occupation. And before 1948, when Israel was established, Palestine was actually under different occupations. Besides the British mandate, it was under 400 years of Turkish occupation as well. But I think the issue of Israel and Palestine is very complex. I want to fast forward. In 1948, with the establishment of Israel, more than 500 Palestinian villages were erased from the map, and more than 700,000 Palestinians had to flee in order to save their lives. And in 1967, when Israel also took over the West Bank, the Six-Day War made more people flee and become refugees. So very long problem since 1948 between Israel and Palestine. But right now, for us on the ground, after Israel and Palestine signed the Oslo Peace Accords in 1993, it's been 20 years where we hoped and we believed that there will be peace between Israel and Palestine. But we had a 20-year deadlock of peace not happening and people not really being able to find forgiveness or reconciliation or knowing how to share this land. I'm living in an area, John, where it's a little Christian village. I'm a half hour outside of Jerusalem. All around me, since 1995 that I've come here, I just see more and more Israeli Jewish settlements being built. What is the problem with these settlements is that they have free access to everywhere. They have freedom of movement. Palestinians need a piece of paper. They need a permit to enter Jerusalem. So that's one difference. Other differences, 5 days in the week, I don't have water in my village. Settlements get water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To fast forward beyond all of these problems, besides Israel controlling all of the borders, the roads, the natural resources, currently what's happening on the ground is a terrible war between Israel and Palestine. And I believe Israel has every right to defend itself, and every country has every right to defend itself. But right now, more than 695 innocent civilians in Gaza have been killed in order for Israel to go get Hamas and to defend itself, because it says that they want Hamas to stop throwing rockets onto Israel. And we have now, in just 2 weeks, more than 100,000 misplaced, displaced homeless people where their homes have been bombed, and several thousand injuries. 29 Israeli soldiers have died because Israel decided to do a ground invasion in addition to shooting from the sea and from the air.
Just thinking about the conflict that exists now, again, our intention here is not to get into politics. There's a long, as you have already said, complex history of the relationship there and occupied lands and who was there first and who owns what, who belongs where. But right now, what we're facing is a humanitarian crisis. We clearly have hundreds and hundreds of innocent men, women, and children, infants, who have been killed as the result of this conflict. And so some would say that, well, Israel is just protecting itself because they were being bombarded with rockets, and so what are they supposed to do? Just sit by idly while the rockets just continue to rain on their land? And others would say, well, yes, they certainly have the right to defend themselves, but wait a minute, is not this action disproportionate and indiscriminate in terms of who is being affected? And where are these people supposed to run anyway if they're, expected to leave a home or an area so that they are not bombed? So I think all of us have had an opportunity to see and be horrified by this news, and we're just devastated by it, and just pray for you and for your family and for all of those who are affected by this. But as a person on the ground there, Maria, perhaps you could just tell us what you have seen and what is happening and what kind of relief efforts are even happening in the area.
Yeah, it's sort of like a disaster in Gaza with the 2 weeks of constant shelling from the sea, from the air, and then recently in the last 4 days, the ground invasion with soldiers on the ground as well. But I do believe that maybe the American public doesn't realize why Hamas, which Hamas, by the way, is the Islamic democratically elected government in 2006 of Palestine, overthrown because the international community didn't like how Palestine voted. So Hamas is throwing rockets onto Israel because since 2006, Gaza is a complete prison. Medicine can't get in, building materials can't get in, you need permits to get in and out. Basically, it's a slow starvation for 1.8 million Palestinian people, because when you're in a prison and you don't even have a right to go to the sea and fish and collect the fish to eat, then it's starvation by a slow process. So this is why Hamas is throwing rockets into Israel, because it's either be killed and slaughtered like recently now, more than 695 children and moms being killed through this fighting, or gain freedom. So they're asking for the siege to be uplifted from Gaza, for Gaza to stop being a prison.
You had told me earlier, before we started recording, that you are not defending Hamas.
I am definitely not a Hamas supporter. I do not agree with Hamas throwing rockets onto Israel. I am simply a person on the ground that lives 1.5 hours away from these bombings and these shellings, and I pray each and every day for peace to come so there can be peace and prosperity for Muslims, Jews, and Christians and secular people that live here. I feel if every Orthodox church in America and in the world and every other church would pray for such a thing, God will listen to our prayers. I believe in the power of prayer. But right now, people are being slaughtered on the ground. Hamas continues to throw rockets into Israel. The airport was shut down because of the rockets. So I've never in my life have seen such fierce fighting. The people in Gaza have suffered and stand with wanting to continue to fight. They're willing to have as many women and children be killed, apparently, in order, it's almost like it's a revolution. I mean, they're asking for their freedom. In return now, Israel has bombed ambulances, has bombed mosques. Yesterday, bombed the girls' school of UNRWA, where people fled from their homes in order to have safety, has bombed hospitals 3 times. And people are now going to the church for shelter. I'm sorry, I have not been able to get a hold of Archbishop Alexios. And I called his landline, I called his cell phone. I do not know personally the status there. I understand that people are trying to have refuge in the church. What is Israel going to do next? Is it going to bomb the Orthodox Church in Gaza?
And in this Greek Orthodox Church in Gaza, and we've seen it in the news, unfortunately not on the mainstream news, but you have to read these types of things through Facebook and other social media sites. Reuters did report on it. Hundreds and now really over 1,000 refugees, and mostly, frankly, Muslim refugees looking just for safety, have been protected and housed in this Orthodox Church. Just as a show of humanitarian decency, because where else are they supposed to turn? And so in the name of Christ, you know, what would Christ have done in a situation like that? Of course, he would have sheltered and helped to protect any way he could.
But the reason people are going for refuge, for example, John, I wanted to mention is in this terrible fighting, for example, when Israel bombs a home, it's killing the mom, the dad, the children, the grandpa. So we have a situation where more than 24 families, the whole family, has been wiped out.
As we'd mentioned earlier, we don't have a solution other than asking our listeners to pray. We're not asking you to take a stand one way or the other on the conflict, supporting Israel, supporting Palestine. We're asking you to open your eyes and look at the humanity, the innocent men, women, and children who are losing their lives and have nothing whatsoever to do with this conflict. And it was tragic to see the plane that was shot down in Ukraine. And we all grieved over the loss of, you know, nearly 300 lives in that accident. It was terrible. And it's a tragedy in by anyone's standards. But now we have over 600 innocent men, women, and children who have also been wiped out, who have been killed, and have no political stand on this. There's no political reason for them to have lost their lives. So we need to pray for them. We need to pray for their families, for safety. We need to pray for our leaders that they will do what is right, that they will negotiate, that they will come to the table, that they will lose their own pride and be willing to compromise and cease fire, to stop the brutal killing.
And I wanted to say also today in Geneva, a very important emergency meeting took place of the United Nations. As many countries voted to hold Israel accountable for what is happening on the ground and to have an agency investigate human rights violations, America was the only one to vote no do not have such an investigation. Many countries abstained, but America directly voted no. We do want to investigate Hamas and Israel for any war crimes they have committed. Why not?
Well, Maria, are you safe yourself where you are in your village?
Yeah, we only have invasions by the army. The next village over, the army can come in at any time and invade homes. So we had a situation where, you know, the army came in, locked up the elderly in one of the rooms. There's no explanation why they did this. Every time they're looking for someone, this is what they do. But in my own personal home, I haven't had an army invasion since 2001, and I hope not to.
Well, our prayers for you and your family as well. Anything else that you would like to add that would help us understand?
Well, actually, John, I wanted to add that people that are close to their representatives and to their senators should have a loud voice. Our churches should speak up for a just peace here. So I ask people who are close to their representatives and their senators to please investigate by themselves and know, especially reading websites like If Americans Knew, to please contact and to say to have a balanced voting when they vote on Israel and Palestine.
Well, we would ask our listeners to look into their own hearts and decide how you can best respond, whether it is calling your senator or your congressman and speak out for those who are losing their lives. Speak out for those, for example, in Iraq, who in Mosul have been basically, as Christians, kicked out to either convert or leave or die. And the churches that have been shut down there. I mean, there are so many things that are happening right now in our world that are affecting Christians that it's very easy to turn a blind eye because of our comfort level and relative safety here in the U.S. But please be aware and do what you can to speak out and to let your voice be known. Again, not necessarily from a political standpoint. It doesn't matter what your position is on Israel or what your position is on the Palestinian people. The fact is, innocent people are losing their lives, and that just must not happen. And anything that we can do to affect that to stop, we need to do.
John, I just wanted to say that I pray for peace and stability so people would come here and walk the footsteps of Christ and be enriched by this beautiful spiritual pilgrimage where Christians have been keeping the faith here since Christ was born in Bethlehem. So I really do pray for peace and for people to come to my small village of Taibe, where we are well known for receiving Christ right before his crucifixion, and we are biblical Ephraim, but in the 12th century, because Christians have been in the last thousands of years nonviolent here and peaceful people here in the Holy Land. They got their new name, the modern name Taibe, from the Islamic invasion, from Salah ad-Din when he invaded the area. They fed his horses, they fed his soldiers, and he said, "You are Taibin," which means you are good. And so our village dropped the name Ephraim and picked up this modern name Taibe. But we are well known for receiving Christ here right before his crucifixion, mentioned in the Gospel of John 11, verse 54. So if people are ever as close as Jerusalem, I highly encourage you to please come and visit Taibe.
Maria Curry, thank you again for talking with us so early in the morning or late at night, your time, but we appreciate you being available to us and giving us this update. Our prayers continue to be with you and to all of the people of the Holy Land. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless your work, John.